Here I cannot help thinking about a mother whose tragic story moved me so deeply. Her son had tried to kill himself, but he had been caught in time. His life had been saved in hospital with a blood transfusion. But the blood used in the transfusion contained the AIDS virus. And this was the news his mother had to tell him the following day. So I believe that God's heart must have been like the heart of that woman. You will die a death. You know, no one of us will ever sound the depth of God's pain in this precise moment when man committed the sin that would lead him to death. Who will ever understand God's dark night when his love is rejected and trodden underfoot, when man runs away from his love? Then God cries out, "Adam, where are you?" Can you not hear this cry from God running through the history of mankind? This cry, "My child, where are you?" As the mother faced with her dead child, as the widow faced with her dead husband, the same cry, the same distress, "Where are you? I want you, I want you. I cannot live without you. I'm dying because you have been taken away." You know, always the same reaction, the same questions. That's why I told you earlier that it is God himself who is asking us this question. And he tells us, "I had warned you tenderly and clearly where the danger lay, and you made straight for it. Why? If only Israel would listen to me, says the Lord. If only my people would listen." You know, personally, I confess that I cannot read this passage of the Bible without weeping. Because it is obvious that in this whole thing, in the whole history of humanity, God was the first one to suffer the death of a loved one. He was the first and the most deeply hurt. He was so hurt that he simply couldn't bear it. It was impossible for him to come to terms with man's demise. Man, who was the brightest jewel in the whole of his creation, made in his image. We all know that God is eternal in essence and immortal, that his life itself. Well, perhaps I'm going to say something completely strange, but I truly believe that God couldn't live without man because he loved him so much. Anyway, you well know the rest of the story. Being God, he knew everything, and he had already prepared the cure even before the onset of the illness. And so we see in Eden, before the fall, there was a tree planted at his heart. It was the tree of life. And this tree represents the cross of Jesus, with streams of life flowing from it, through which the serpent is vanquished. Death will be vanquished. You know, an interesting thing is, the Jews often say that three things existed before the world was created: the Shabbat, the Torah, and the Messiah. Well, I don't know if this is the right order. Then, the Messiah was already there when this drama was unfolding in Eden. And the Messiah said to his father, "Here I am, send me to save them." Then God decided that he would rescue Adam from the other side of death by creating the resurrection from the dead through his son Jesus. And in order to beat death on its own territory, Jesus, the Son, the Messiah, had to be condemned to death himself and death on the cross. This same cross that is now our true tree of life and our boast. This cross from which life truly flows, where we come to slake our thirst. This cross that conquered death. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son so that those who believe in him might not perish but have eternal life. Well, do you think that I'm painting a rosy picture of what happened and that it's too good to be true? Well, then I'll quote to you a very serious text from the Second Vatican Council. Here is the quote.
"It is through a just inspiration of his heart that man rejects and refuses this total ruination and this definitive disintegration of his person. The seed of eternity that he carries inside him, that is beyond matter, revolts against death. The Church, taught by divine revelation, affirms that God created man in view of a blessed end, beyond the miseries of the present time. Christian faith teaches us that this bodily death will one day be vanquished, when the salvation that was lost through the fault of man will be restored to him by his all-powerful and merciful Savior. For God has called and is calling man to adhere to him with all his being in the eternal communion of an inalterable life. This victory was won by Christ when he rose from the dead, freeing man through his own death. Therefore, the faith may answer the anxious questions about his own future. It gives us at the same time the possibility of communion in Christ with our beloved brothers who are already dead, giving us the hope of the true life that they have found with God.
What I'm now asking you earnestly is not to accuse God of inventing death. It's clear in the Book of Wisdom, God did not create death. It's written that. We can revolt against death, but let us not accuse God. The wages of sin is death, St. Paul tells us. As for God, he only created life, and life for the sake of love. God is not the author of evil. And what is absolute evil? Sin is. It is a refusal of love. Perhaps death is a lesser evil. It's the only way out for Adam. After his fall, Adam, who had become filled with darkness and quick to fall, could no longer be in perfect and sublime communion with the divine glory. So, passing through death allowed Adam to leave sin behind with the life of the world and once more to reach perfect communion with his Creator. In Eden, it was impossible for sin to live side by side with glory and light. In this way, we can say that death is no longer a defeat, but a passage, thanks to Jesus, a Passover, leading into a life that is free from any stain, any suffering, or any imperfection. In other words, death has rescued love and its true original splendor. Well, before we get to the promises that Jesus has given us and that he carries out every day, I would like to say something that is very important for today's world. You know, I lived for a long time in my life in the East, and it felt like living on a different planet. Here in the West, we have lost some of the basic intuition that have been planted deep within man, in the intimate depth of his heart. And why is this? Because of the constant noise and clamor of the materialistic mindset of our societies. You can go and say to any man in the street, "Listen, I have a magic wand, and I can give you whatever you want most in the world. What are you going to ask for?" And I can assure you that everybody, every single body, when they have looked sincerely into their heart, everybody without exception would reply, "Happiness. I want happiness." "All right," you'd say, "but what does happiness mean to you?" And they would say, "Love. Love without end. And life, life without end, and joy." And why will they say that? Because everyone, every single person on earth carries within them an inherited memory of Eden. From the time when man was in the light, you know what strikes us when we visit secondary schools and colleges? It's the question that the young people ask. And those questions always gravitate around the same themes and the same subjects, like, why does love not last? Huh. Why can't we be happy? Why is there so much suffering in the world? Why are we not told the truth? We are brainwashed with so many things that lead nowhere. Why does hatred exist? Actually, you never get used to it. We cannot get used to it because we are not meant to. So, you know, I believe it's right to listen to our deepest intuitions, and especially concerning love and life. When you think about it, someone who is experiencing true love, profound and pure, that person is convinced that he's experiencing something sacred and that this love cannot be reduced to nothing. He knows that love exists, so eternity exists. Otherwise, it's not really love. Love is a part of God that captivates us. And we all sense that true love, by its very essence, is made to last. And the proof of this is that when it is cut short, it is an outrage that we cannot endure. And you know, our awareness of the fact that love is made to last is anchored within us more profoundly even that our tendency to sin. And this is why deceit and broken marriages, infidelity, indifference, all the deficiencies of love, all those things hurt us terribly and can even lead us to death. So in order to try and make up for this suffering, man invented cheap love. But that is not at all the answer, not at all. Another memory of Eden that we carry as a profound intuition is that of life, life without end. You know, God created us immortal. And we can see that after thousands of years, we are still scandalized by the existence of death. And this is only natural. Let us not be afraid to proclaim that we are immortal, because it is true. Anyone who loves life cannot accept that one day there will be nothingness, as if it had never existed. It's impossible. Human life is much too precious to be obliterated, wiped out one day suddenly like the life of an insect or an animal. Think, for example, of someone looking at a child. Instinctively, he's led to believe that this life is too beautiful to be the result of chance and, a future corpse, and that's it.